stressful. It's like having a conversation.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly. So the how I started this was we were doing a bunch of videos on our YouTube channel and we stopped. So all four of us got busy as hell. And we just stopped doing the videos like just all of a sudden. And so I was trying to keep the channel going, like, videos and stuff. And I was like, well, I guess, I can talk to these guys because I was already talking to some people. I would have random video calls with some of our viewers. You know, like they would text me, like, hey, what's going on? Or hey, I got this new thing or whatever. And I would just, hey, what are you doing right now? You know? And it would be at night and I would just video, we would video call. And so we would just sit here and talk and they would show me their new pistol or whatever, you know?
Oh, that's
One
so
guy
cool.
was, yeah, one guy was showing me like, he was asking me something about something was wrong with his gun or something. And I was like, well, what are you doing right now? Let's video call and then you can show me and I'll kind of, walk you through it or whatever. So I had been doing that for, I don't know, a year, before I started legitimately, doing the podcast and recording them. So I, yeah, so anyway, that's how they started. So
That's cool. I like
yeah, and it's always been very casual, very like, hey, what's up? So anyway, well, now I'm recording and now everything's good. We'll go back to kind of what, when we started here, but so welcome to the podcast and thank you for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What I was asking you earlier, what we were talking about before, the like wearing glasses on the field. I know that's a huge issue. I was telling you, two of my sons, that's a big issue for them. And do you have that issue as well? Like finding masks or whatever, like trying to, to keep everything in there and your glasses on and not fogging up, you know?
So I actually don't play with my glasses. I should, but I don't. My right eye is my dominant eye. My left eye is like my crappy eye. So I can somewhat see, but if it's like nighttime, I can't see anything. I tried playing with my glasses on one time, but because they're like really thin and metal, it was like pressing against my face. Like there's no flexibility. So I'm actually gonna get contacts and wear them on the weekends so that way when I play, I can actually see.
Right. Yeah, that's one of my sons was talking about getting contacts. He tried contacts years ago and his I think he actually played with him one time and he got something in his eye, dirt or whatever, off the field, but at the event. And so his contact was screwed up. Excuse me. And so then he was like he only had one in for the rest of the weekend. He's like, oh no, I had to go back to my glasses. But yeah, they've always had an issue with that. And that's a really common issue with most people that I've seen and talked with anytime you wear a mask. And I, even at my work, some of the stuff I do, I wear a respirator, and I wear a full face mask with a respirator. So it's like, yeah, so it has a full like visor, face thing on it and everything. So when I'm painting, because I use a sprayer, it's painting a giant house or whatever inside, or sanding and all that kind of stuff, I wear it. And it's we're in South Carolina.
What's it called? They're not N95s, like the 100s, like they're purple and big.
Yep.
Yeah, my dad airbrushes cars, so he
Oh yeah.
yeah, he takes
Exactly. Yeah, so the one when I'm painting, I have to wear those, the purple ones. Now when I'm sanding, like drywall and stuff, I use just the regular white ones, just for dust. I tried using those with the paint. No. My whole mask is filled with the mist from the paint, like it goes through the filters. So I have to wear those purple ones. But so even with those, We're in South Carolina. It's hot most of the time. This thing just fogs up like crazy. I'm like, dude. Oh yeah. So airsofters have, and paintballers who, whatever, like y'all have the same issues with all that kind of, figuring out your glasses and a mask that works right and doesn't fog up too much. And it's not an easy solution, unfortunately.
It really isn't. And then I don't know how, but so I used to play paintball, and with the mask that I used to wear, it would constantly fog up, even like without my glasses. It was just like fog city. Like I'd be on the field and it's terrible. And then I got like my first dye mask, and I haven't had any fogging at all. So I don't know if it's like maybe the type of mask I had before. It was like close to a rental mask. That was my old one, so maybe it was like the design of it.
The dye mask, my oldest son who has to wear glasses, for everything. He when he got a dye mask, the he didn't have hardly any problems with it fogging up. I think because they have like some kind of vents built in around. But yeah, that was probably the best one that he had. But it was kind of like you were saying earlier, it was a little tight for his glasses, so it was kind of like pushing him on his face. But he's got a big head, so he's a big dude. He's 6'1" and like 320 pounds, and so he gets a mask. He got this Ronin mask. I don't know if you've heard of the or a Ronin helmet. You ever heard of
Oh,
those? Okay, like a full giant ass helmet. So the real one is rated, it's geared for like real steel, like military use kind of thing, where it'll block like shrapnel and all kind of shit. And well, he got the airsoft version, so it'll stop BBs and stuff, but and it looks badass. So he got this thing. He got the largest one they could, he could get. He could barely get it on his head, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm not fitting my glasses in here at all." So he couldn't wear it, unfortunately, but he wanted to, because it looks cool. Oh yeah,
Crazy. And then imagine seeing someone with it, and he's 6'1". Oh
yeah,
my,
yeah.
crazy.
And I mean, big dude. Well, when I go out, like, so my wife and I have 5 kids. Three boys, 2 girls, and they're all in their 20s. And when I go, if I go out somewhere, or me and my wife or whatever, we go out somewhere with our 3 boys, they're like, two of them are, that big. Now the third one is, he's like normal size, okay, like for that age. He's like 5'10", 5'11", whatever, and normal size. But when I go out with Colton and Christian, the 2 bigger ones, people are always like, "What are the your bodyguards? Like, what do you
That's
got?"
crazy. I still think like 5'10", 5'11" is tall because I'm 5'1". So I'm like, I
Okay.
still think anything above like 5'4" is like extremely tall. I'm like,
Right.
I literally look up at people.
Oh, we had so one of their good friends, one of their best friends, that they grew up with, got married just a few months ago. Well, he's like a, another son to us. He's been to the house for so many years, and we're kind of like his surrogate parents, because he only had his dad growing up, and his dad and him aren't really, aren't close and stuff. So, and he spent so much time with us, he's always calling us, mom and dad. But so he's really short. He is, he's, I think, 5'4", right? For a guy and his age. And so he gets around these guys, and he looks, even smaller. So he comes over. Well, he had his wedding party, and 2 guys in that were going to the wedding were 6'7".
Oh my gosh.
So he had my 2 sons who are 6'1", 6 foot, 6'1", 320 pounds. Then he had 2 guys that were 6'7". And then there's this, then there's him and a few other his friends. But all the wedding pictures and stuff. We took a bunch of pictures here at the house before we went to the you know, to the wedding and whatever. But, and I was like, bro, you're going to have to stand out in front of, like, way out in front of them. We can't see you. Oh, yeah.
That's funny. It was actually like a couple of days ago. I had a patient. He was taller than our like measurement thing. He was like 7-something.
Oh shit.
So, yeah. So, and then I'm just looking up and I'm like, dude, I can't like get your height. Like, tell me and I'll believe you.
You need one of those construction like tape measures like I use, you know? Here, hold this.
Like, hold it. Let me know.
Oh my God. That's crazy. So you said patient, you work in the medical field?
Yeah, I'm a medical assistant currently. Hmm. So I work for Banner.
Yeah. My wife does the same thing. She's a CPM. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I think that's what they're called, CPM. There's a, or CPN, something like that.
CPN, okay. Oh, like
There's an certified medical assistant, CMA, sorry.
CMA, yeah, that's what I'm
Look, I don't know what the hell.
That's me. I'm a CMA too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's been doing that for quite a few years. And, yeah, so she used to work, actually, I talked her into doing that because she used to work, she was a manager, at a local Taco Bell. So she worked, you know, food service, and she hated it because she was there till, you know, she'd have to close all the time, like 3-4 in the morning. And, so I was like, why don't you go to school and do, cause she was always interested in the medical field. I was like, go do that. You know? So she did. And it was really hard cause she actually worked full time and went to school full time for 16 months. And, and our kids were younger. I mean, they were, you know, most of them were teenagers. So, I mean, you know, they didn't need constant care. They were, you know, but still they had, two of our daughters were in dance. All three of our boys were in sports. And, I was working a lot of overtime as well. So, we were extremely busy for those couple of years, but then she got her certificate or whatever, and then found a job at a doctor's office. And she actually works at a doctor's office, like literally like 2 miles from our house. It's so close. Cool.
Yeah, kind of. So kind of like same here. I'm only like 15 minutes down the road from my work. Mm. It's also like the same thing, like a doctor's office. So like your primary care.
Right. So. Yeah. And she, you know, well, she used to love it. She's been doing it long enough to where she's like, eh, I don't love it anymore. Yeah. But
it is, you know, kind of repetitive. Yeah. I've only been there for like maybe like 2 years. And I just started school to go into nursing. So I'm like, I'm kind of ready to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. It's, she was, you know, she was talking about that as well. Cause she got really discouraged like in the last few months because she reached her top rate for her position or whatever. And she was all pissed off. And I'm like, man, when I worked jobs, you know, most of the jobs in the past, like factories and stuff, when I hit top rate, like I was glad, like I was like, that's my goal. Yeah. And, the first day she reached top rate, she was all pissed off. She's like, no, because now I have nowhere else to go. Like there's no way to move up, you know? Yeah. And, so I keep encouraging her to start her own business because she's very disciplined with, you know, working and stuff. And, so anyway, yeah, she used to love it and now she's kind of like, and then of course she's really tired of wearing masks and shit. So
yeah, me too. I'm over it.
Oh, for real. Yeah. I think a lot of people are, you know, so that's, but you know, I was not in a position, where I had to wear it all the time. She is like every day and she's like, yeah, I'm so tired. I just want to look for something else, whatever. But yep. I had jobs in the past where I actually painted, like parts, machine parts. Mm-hmm. So it's like painting a car. So you'd be in a big paint room that's sealed up and we'd have all these machine parts hanging. I mean, they were big, you know, they were, fabricated metal parts or whatever for these machines. And so I'd go in there with a sprayer, full suit, full mask. So that was, that's, you know, I geared up every day, all day, wearing this thing and spraying. I'd come out covered in blue paint. We painted all the parts blue. And so, but anyway, so I know what it's like to wear those all the time, but I think it's a little different because probably, I guess, because of what's going on, you know, or what's happened over the last few years. It's like, man, we don't need to wear this. So why are we, you know, why are we still wearing them?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I get it because, like, I'm hand, like, contact with patients. But it's just still, like, at least not at my desk. Like, I'm alone. I have, like, my own desk. Like, at least not there. So
that's how she is, too. She has her own desk and everything. So she's always pulling it down when she has to, you know, when she's over there. But, yeah. So I think she's, like, I'm ready to move on, you know. Well, so you're studying, nursing, you said? You want to be a RN?
Yes, I do. So I'm actually starting August. And then from there, I'm going to go to RN. And then after I'm done, I'm going to go for my BSN.
Nice. Okay. That's good. Yeah. She talked about going back to school and she's like, I don't want to do it.
I mean, I don't want to go to school, but in the end, it's going to benefit me. So
absolutely. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. We're, you know, I'm in a position now where the work I'm doing now, I have a lot of freedom. So, yeah, I work with a friend and we do, we flip houses. So we do construction. So, and so we just make our own schedule. We just do, like, if I got to do something, I'm, you know, like we have a lot of freedom with that. As long as we finish whatever job we're doing, you know, like it works out good. So,
yeah, I remember you talking about that in your previous podcast, like in one of your previous podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's been a huge blessing for me because I worked, factory work most of, you know, well, a lot of years while our kids were growing up. And I just volunteered for overtime all the time. Like I worked 60, 70 hours and plus hours a week for a lot of years. And so to pay for five kids, you know?
Yeah.
So, but now it's kind of nice that they're grown and So you guys, are in, well, first of all, how do you say your name? Is it Yamileta?
So it's Yamilet. So
Yamilet. Okay.
Yep. And then I just go by Yami. How I tell people it's like saying the word yummy, but instead of the U, it's an A.
Right.
And that's how. That's
good.
And then it's funny because for the longest time, I was trying to think like, what should my name be? Like before it was something like drive you crazy, but it wasn't the full words. And then that didn't click. And then one night I'm driving and I was like, I've literally had a nickname my entire life. It's Yami. So I was like, I'll use that.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. So that's what you go by on the field and on, you know, what everybody knows you by.
Yep.
Good. Yeah. I saw your, on your profile on your Instagram. I think you had posted, I think it was on one of your posts. You had, oh yeah, it was. It was one of your posts where you did like the Transformation Tuesday thing.
Yeah.
And you were like, I don't usually do these or whatever. But in there, you put a little bit about yourself. And it was, you had put how to say your name.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people mess that up.
Oh, all the time. I'm used to it though, but all the time. It's either Jamie or if they see my full name, they're like, Jamaletti, Jamaletta. So I'm like, I'm just going to, you know, help out some people.
Yeah. Let's fix this.
Yeah. Let's fix
it. And the problem is too, I looked up how to pronounce your full name.
Really?
And dude, I'm telling you, Well, I mean, I like to say somebody's name correctly. And so when I looked it up, I tried four different sites that said, where you can click on the audio thing. Every single one pronounced the J as a J sound. And I was like, what the hell? There's no way. Because I saw your post where it's a Y sound. I'm like, these sites are wrong. Like,
So yeah, it's so funny because I remember I have a cousin with the same name as me, but she spells it with a Y. And everyone that I've met that like knows someone with my name spells it with a Y. So I go to my mom one day and I'm like, why'd you spell it with a J? Like, why couldn't you make it easy? And she goes, it looks pretty with a J. I don't like how it looks with the Y. So that's why my name's spelled with a J, because she typed it
Yeah.
with a J.
That's cool though. Well, when I first typed it in, it actually, how Google, like if you misspell something, it'll ask you like, well, did you mean whatever? And it said, did you mean, Yamaletta with a Y? And I'm like, no, I meant with a J. I wonder how to pronounce this one. Oh yeah.
But I appreciate you like actually trying to learn how to say it. That's the first. Like, I never had anyone like want to learn how to say it on their own without my help. That's
Oh,
so cool.
I mean, that's, I mean, when I talk to people, I like to know something about them or, and if you post something like that, when I saw that you had put that in there, I assumed, that most people mess it up, I didn't want to mess it up. So
Well, thank you. You didn't miss it up.
yeah, for
But it's
sure.
perfect.
Well, you and I met through Instagram, and I want to say through some of the other women airsofters I follow, like Airsofter Sam, and so I don't remember who, kind of where you came up with all the people I follow on there, but I thought it was cool. And I, sometimes I'm a little hesitant to reach out to people. Like if they haven't been playing long, or if they don't have like a lot of, posts or whatever, like I'm like, well, I don't know. So I kind of just, I think you had commented on one of the previous podcasts or one of the previous posts that I put about a podcast.
Yeah,
And,
I think I remember it was Alexis Spooky Airsoft, I think.
yes, that's what it
Yeah.
was.
I love watching. When I first saw you did Sam, I watched that podcast and I loved how you just have like a conversation, so genuine. And then I was like, oh, I'll watch the other ones. And then I was like, this is a great podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I like I said, it's not professional. And honestly, there's been some times where we're talking, when I'm talking to somebody, I'm just like, I'm horrible, man. I don't know what to say. I just recorded something, it's kind of a preface. I just recorded it tonight, actually. Preface to the podcast that's going to come out tomorrow morning with a guy I did a podcast with a few days ago. And during that podcast, I was kind of blanking out or whatever. And so it wasn't as smooth of a conversation. It was a little shorter podcast than our normal ones. And he was like, man, I'm sorry, I wasn't easy to talk to. I'm like, no, it wasn't you, bro. It was, so I think that's what, I don't want people to feel like that when I talk to them. So I want them to feel comfortable. I always imagine I'm just like, you're here at one of our barbecues or cookouts or whatever. We're just hanging out, and we just, oh, hey, you're brand new here. Like, oh, I don't. And this is how I talk to somebody when they come over, if I haven't met them yet, I'm like, oh, what's going on? And we just start talking, and we'll talk for 20, 30 minutes. And I want them to feel comfortable when they're here for a party. So, you know, a lot of times, if they're not with somebody, or even if they are, they'll get here and they're like kind of like by themselves, you know, off in the corner. I don't like people to feel like that. Like,
Me too.
bro, hey, come here. Hey, we're doing sh do you drink? Hey, we're doing shots. All right, come on, because that'll loosen up everybody.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same way, and like I'm also like a chatterbox. So I'm like, I just it won't be too silent between us, just a heads up.
Yeah, that's good. No, I love that. Yeah, I did this podcast recently where there were two guys that I talked to, and they're on the same Milsim team. And I was like, when I was prepping for, you know, or just like getting everything set up, I was like, man, this is gonna be great. All I got to do is ask one question, and they'll talk for a while. Like, I don't have to talk that much. So,
Like different accents everywhere.
right? Yeah, it worked out good. But I do like to talk, obviously. I'm doing these, so oh yeah. But I think it makes people feel more comfortable too, because if they've watched some of our previous ones or listened to them, they know that I don't know a lot about airsoft, and so, you know, I don't have a lot of experience or whatever. I mean, we're not talking tech talk here. We're not talking about how to fix your pistol if it breaks, or like all the
I'm
parts and
still
shit.
learning. I'm still learning. I'm with you. Don't worry. Like I know
Yeah.
enough. I know a good amount, but when it comes to the tech, I try to learn. Like I even have nicknames of the parts so I can remember them.
Like what?
So, like for example, like Kythera, I call it the Kraken. That's how I remember
Oh
what it is.
shit. Okay.
And then there's another, is it? Like a hop up, I say hopscotch because that's how I'll remember.
Oh,
So
that's cool.
I was out in the field one time and I was talking to someone and I said, "Oh, the Kraken," and they're like, "What? No!" And I was like, "Oh my God, no! It's the other word."
Oh, that's funny. They're like, wait, what? Where's Kraken? I want a shot.
So
Cause
like.
I drink Kraken rum a lot, so
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen that.
yeah, the hopscotch thing. I can imagine you're on the field and like, man, my hopscotch is messed up, and they're like, what?
And like my boyfriend's the only one that like actually helps me with like the tech work, because I want to do it on my own to say like, hey, I actually did this. And he gets frustrated but not really bad. He's just like, that's not what it's called. And I'm like, this is what helps me. I was like, don't try to change it. It's already written in stone.
Oh yeah, once you like kind of set that in your head from the beginning, it's hard to go back, or I guess forward to the real word, you know. Now, are you so you like kind of doing things on your own? Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a younger brother, so I'm the oldest.
Oh, okay, you're the oldest. So you got to prove yourself, like, I know what I'm doing, and be
Yeah, and then
responsible.
all the time, it's the oldest. It's our job.
Right. I hear you. Yeah, one of my sons is on our YouTube channel. He's the Chris, he's the oldest. That's what I was talking about. That's has to wear the glasses. Yeah, and so he actually he didn't take that role as far as, you know, siblings go. Our next child did, which is my oldest daughter. Oh yeah, she is like, you know, on top of all the shit. Like, she knew what was going on. At 5 years old, she wanted to, like, Mom, you're not cleaning my room. I want to clean my room. Like, oh, okay. Like, you know, she's making a statement, and, you know, like she was gonna control him. We're like, yeah, of course. Yeah, honey, go ahead.
They're like, go ahead, all you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh yeah.
think about it. Yeah, that's kind of how I am. I like to, I like help if I need help. Yeah, but like, I'm like, I want to do it on my own.
Sure. Now, did you grow up in you guys are in Arizona? Did
Phoenix
you
or
grow up
Phoenix.
around that area?
Yes, born and raised in the very streets, on the
Yeah.
streets. Yeah.
Okay.
So went
I
through,
was.
yeah. Yeah, every summer we go through like the 100-degree heat. It's great.
Yeah. My grandma and my uncle on my dad's side, so my dad's brother and my dad's mom lived in Phoenix. Well, right around Phoenix. God, I can't remember the name of the city. It's where, now this is years ago. So 15, 20 years ago. Sun City, is that?
Oh yeah, Sun City.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now this is what they said when they told me where they were at, because I was stationed in California at the time, and we were going to go visit them. And they said, yeah, it's where all the old people go to retire. And I was like, oh, okay. So, but he was talking about the same thing. He said, I remember, I mean, I had been in some hot places, and while I was in the military and stuff. And he says, no, man, this place gets so hot, you could put an egg on the sidewalk and it'll cook.
Yep,
And I
I
was
did
like,
that
no
before.
way. So we get there, and everyone's yards are rocks. Like, there's no one has grass. It was all rocks.
It's too expensive to keep up with the grass.
Mm.
Yep.
I can't imagine. Yeah, that's I mean, it was as hot as he said. He was not
Yep.
exaggerating.
I know, I hate it. Like we played airsoft on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was torture. Like, and I normally like to play indoor. And then I went to like outdoor for like the first time since it got really hot. It was a mistake. I was huffing and like sweating. It was just too much. Like I felt how slow I was. It was terrible.
Yeah, the heat'll do that for sure. When you're running around with full gear on, especially when you have to wear, like a mask or headgear or something, all that heat is just like.
Yeah, like I actually had a change. I was like, I need a change. This is too much. I was getting a headache. Oh my God.
Yeah, the indoor fields are probably air conditioned.
Yes. Oh, I love them so much. Now, since going on Saturday, I'm like, I'll be back like later. I was like, I'm gonna
Right.
live it now.
Yeah, so you guys so in Arizona, the heat's it's hot in the day, but you guys have very little humidity, right? It's real dry.
Very little. It's
Yeah.
just dry.
And then so at night, it cools off pretty good.
I'd say it does dip. Of course, like we're just getting back into like really hot right now. So at night it's like a lot better. I feel like depending on like how hot it was, you'll still feel hot at night even.
Well, sure, all that asphalt and concrete and cars and whatever is out in the sun all day holds all that heat. So it kind of carries it through the night.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, you grew up there, so you're kind of used to it, but playing airsoft in it is a lot different.
Not really, no. Yeah, I'm used to it. Everyone's gonna complain about it, but at the end of the day, I'm used to it.
Right.
Yeah.
So what, speaking of airsoft, so how did you get into playing?
Oh wow. So I actually used to play paintball before I got into airsoft.
Yeah.
I started playing paintball when I was like 11 or 12. And then one day, like 3 years ago, out of the blue, my dad's like, "Hey, I bought an airsoft gun. I bought two of them. Let's try it out." And because it's just a lot cleaner, like paintball, you have just so much cake of paint on you. You can't
Yep.
sit in your car. You have to change, bring a pair of clothes just to drive. So we played airsoft. Haven't played paintball since. Just
Okay.
quickly, now.
That's
And then,
cool.
oh yeah. And then I actually didn't know there was such thing as like an airsoft community. I had no idea this stuff even existed until I met AR Revolution, which is my boyfriend's team. and they like opened my eyes. I was like, whoa, I was like, this is a like there's teams, there's tournaments, there's ops at like what's it called? Lion Claws, where they go to Victorville. I was like, this is unreal. And
Yeah.
I'm obsessed right now.
Okay. So yeah, so you know, my son, so I played paintball as well for like 6 years, and when my kids were younger, my oldest one that's, you know, into airsoft now, he was like 8, I think, and he kept asking, "I want to go. I want to go play. I want to go play." 'Cause you know, 'cause he saw the paintball gun, he'd see me gear up, you know, whatever, to, you know, get my stuff ready to go. And I was like, "No, man, it hurts. Like you're not ready for that. Maybe a couple years." So you might have heard this on another podcast, but I had him stand in the backyard. I shot him in his tennis shoe. You know, he had shoes on. I shot him in his shoe. He cried for like 20 minutes. I was like, "See?" He's like, he said, "No, I don't want to go." So, oh yeah.
That's how my little brother's into airsoft now. But before he saw my dad and I gear up, and he was like, "I want to do it." And we're like, "Listen, because I have a higher pain tolerance than he does. Well, because he's younger, and I'm older." So I was like, "Listen, you're gonna cry. I already know you're gonna cry." He goes, "No, I'm not." And he's 13 right now. And even right now, if he gets shot pretty good, it still sh like stuns, like shocks him.
Yeah, I feel like paintball too. We well later on, what you know, after I played it for a couple of years, we start wearing those like jerseys, you know, that a lot of guys wear, and so they're kind of baggy, and you know, some of the parts are kind of thicker material, and so they, you know, you still get marks or welts, but not as bad as wearing a t-shirt. And which is what I started out playing, you know, and so you yeah, it wasn't, you know, wasn't too bad, but the airsoft, you know, when you have a bunch of gear on, it's not terrible, but it seems like what I've heard most people talk about is you always like the BB finds the spot that is like not covered. For some reason, that's where it goes. So you get it in the neck or the fingers or the knuckles. If you know the one day you didn't wear gloves, that's where you get shot, you know?
And oh my God, I used to just always have a like acrylic nails on, and I had to take them off. And that's why I have like fingerless gloves, because my acrylics would like poke holes. So I was like, I'll just cut
Right.
them off. What are the odds my fingers are gonna get shot? Sure enough, all my fingers just get shot now. So I'm like, way to go. As soon as I cut.
You know, that's funny because you'd think with as many girls that are getting into airsoft now, that they would make gloves to accommodate that. You know? I never even thought of that. That's actually not come up in our conversation, but
I think that's a lot, actually. Like, I'm
yeah.
like, I should just open up a brand for girls to play, because I'm like, I have countless, like, so many pants, and I'm like, this one pair will work, but it won't fit me right. I'm just like, I need to design something.
Yeah, that needs to happen. This has actually come up probably 3 or 4 times in conversation on these podcasts where you know, every single girl I've talked to is there's no like airsoft, you know, gear, whatever, geared for women. Even the masks and stuff, or you know, the headgear stuff, whatever, is you know, they have to buy the child kind of like sizes or whatever because they're too big, and they just have to work around it, and especially pants. That's what I've heard the most is the pants. I haven't heard really anyone say, any of the women I've talked to say that they like the pants that they have to play in. So they're fine as far as, you know, they're functional, but they still don't fit right. They're you know, and also not just with women, but everyone that plays airsoft, it's a fashion show. Like, you want to look good on the field.
Yeah.
So it's got to look good and feel good and be durable enough where if you, you know, are taking a knee or if you're sliding or whatever, that, you know, it doesn't rip or wear out too fast, that kind of shit. Somebody needs to start something to get, you know, a push towards getting some gear for you girls.
Yeah. I mean, like, I have like 6 pants only designated for airsoft, and like, I only wear them like once or twice, and I'm like, nope, I need new ones. Like, there's always a problem with the pants.
Hmm. Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, like, I could wear leggings, but like, I'll feel a little more and it'll kind of hurt a little more than like with pants. So like, leggings won't really work.
Do they make, speaking of leggings, do they make leggings that are like thicker that would be better? I wonder if they make like a winter version of leggings, you know, for women that like, if they're going to go jogging or walking or whatever, you know, out and they still want to wear leggings, but it's, you know, snowing out, you know?
Yeah. I know, like, I've seen pairs of, like, there's, like, fur inside. But, like, then again, like, in Arizona, like, nobody's sweating in that.
Right? So. Yeah, that would be a tough one for sure.
Oh, yeah, very.
Well, I guess you could always put, like, football pads in your leggings. Okay?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I bought, like, these, like, knee pads. So it's, like, almost like you could just put it like a sleeve on, but it's for your knees. So I'm like, oh, I could wear those. But the thing is, like, they're foamy and they're really thin, so they're just constantly like ripping.
Oh, yeah.
So like, I finally bought like hard knee pads, like that have like the shell on it.
Right.
And then when I put them on, my pants right up. So, you know, my whole ankle is exposed. And of course, I'll get shot in the ankle. Jeez. No way.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get into the medical field? You know, did you always like that kind of stuff or?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. My dad's always been in the medical field. So growing up, it's like I've been around him talking about it, the lingo. It's really easy. It comes to me naturally. Like, I like to tell people, I would, like, growing up, when if I was waiting in a line to order for food while we're waiting, my dad would run me through all the chambers of the heart and the functions of a human heart. And I was like 6 years old at the time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And it's just crazy. I'm like, well, I already know this much. I'm used to it. I'll just go for it.
That's cool. Okay. So, so he must know a lot about that kind of stuff.
He does. Yeah. He reads a lot into a lot of stuff. He's just a big reader.
So he played paintball as well.
Yes, he did. He would compete, like, back then with his team. They would compete, go to California, and they were fighter towns. Fighter towns, one of the fields in Arizona.
Yeah.
They were under fighter town. So.
Oh, that's cool. I wonder what got him in it. Do you know what got him in paintball?
Yes. Video games got him into paintball.
What?
Yep. So he said he would play like Call of Duty and like Halo. And he was like, and I think he saw like an ad for it somewhere. And he was like, I want to try real life Call of Duty. He tried it. He got addicted. And then he got me addicted into it. And that's how it's been.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I was actually, you know, I've been a gamer my whole life. Halo, you know, all the big ones, of course. And then before that, all the arcade games back in the 80s, you know, and, you know, Space Invaders, Pac-Man, all that kind of stuff. But when I was playing Halo, some of the guys I worked with start talking about paintball. And I was like, I think I've heard of that. I don't know. So I went with them. And after the first time, I was like, hell yeah, this is awesome.
Yep.
I was fresh out of the military, too. So I was like, you know, looking for kind of like, you know, something to like get out there. You know, it's physical. You get shot. You know, there's that anticipation and, you know, excitement of I don't want to get shot because it hurts. I want to win. So I want to shoot the other guys. And yeah, it was great. So I got in, you know, got into that. I played for, you know, handful of years or whatever and loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely very like addictive, especially to those who are competitive by nature. I'm really, really competitive. So like when I'm playing, I could like feel my adrenaline just rushing and I'm like, so pumped up, and if I get hit by the same person I've like got hit by a few times, I'm like, I hunt them down. I'm like, I need to get you at least once, and I'm done.
Oh shit!
So, yeah, it's crazy.
I think now, did you play sports in school, like growing up?
Yeah, I played. I did track and softball.
Okay. Did you like it?
Yes, I love running more than I did softball, so I love track. But I still love softball. It's still a good sport.
Yeah. Yeah, I found that a lot of people that really get competitive in airsoft, you know, played sports and they were kind of like that already. And kind of airsoft is what they focused on because I think, you know, after high school, and this happens for most people, you know, after high school, if you don't get into, you know, if you don't go in the military, because the military is like a lot of physical, you know, most of the time it's a lot of physical stuff that kind of feeds that need, I guess, you know, after high school. Because after high school, man, if you don't go to into college sports or something like that, there's kind of a letdown in a way. Like you don't realize it at the time. Like you're just ready to get out of high school, you know. But then when you're out and you're going, wait a minute, man, I miss this competitive, like, what do I do to be competitive? Because you get a job and you can't really compete in jobs, you know, most jobs, like you're stuck in this, whatever job you're, you know, you're in. And, there's not a civil way to like compete with your coworkers, yeah, you know,
that's allowed
so, right. So, you know, I think after a couple years after high school, I think most people are looking for this way to, what do I do? Like, I play video games. Yeah, that's competitive. It's fun. But you're missing the physical aspect of it, you know. What do I do that's going to be fun where I can run around and do some, you know, whatever, you know. And it's airsoft seems like a really good fit for that kind of thing, because not only do you go get to the physical part of running around and shooting each other and trying to win, but you can also wear some awesome looking gear that makes you feel badass, you know?
Like, I remember like a while ago, I was like, I'm so bored. Like, I need something. And like, I shoot real steel. So I'm like, I love guns, but I can't shoot because like ammo is so scarce and it's just so expensive. It's kind of like perfect because there's airsoft, and I saw that there's those ops that you can go to and you could compete against a team, or there's speed QB where it's like more speed. So I'm like, it has everything I want. It has a gun, has competitiveness, and like still a physical activity. So I'm still like running and getting my blood flowing.
Right. Yeah. And that's the one sport, like there is a wide variety of gameplay styles or whatever that, you know, types that if you're not feeling like the woodland stuff, you know, going out to a milsim, if you want to play speed QB one weekend, you go do that. And then in another month, you signed up for a 3-day milsim, you go for the full military experience, you know, whatever. And then they have different levels of that as well. Like the 40-hour continuous, you know, nonstop. Like once they say go, look, there's not even sleeping. Okay. You can't leave the field. Sure. You're ready to go all the time.
Heard you have to like if you fall asleep, you have to worry about getting shot while you're asleep. Like, I want to do one of those at least like once, because like I need my sleep, I'm not gonna lie. Hear so many different stories about like the 40-hour ones that are just go, go, go. Jeez.
Yeah, I think a lot of people start getting attracted to that after they start, playing airsoft for a little while. So they go to some indoor fields and they go, and I think a lot of them watch some videos where they see a lot of this gameplay, with like the milsim kind of gameplay, and they go, "Man, that would be cool too, like I want to go try that." And so they'll go to a 3-day milsim. And they have, one day events as well that are like, in the like a woodland or whatever, kind of play, like skirmishes and stuff like that. So there's all these different types and styles and variables that you can try out for whether indoor, like indoor, just kind of casual, like where it's not, I guess, super competitive. For somebody that's brand new, like you have a lot of steps along the way where you can just try out all this different types for airsoft, where you go start out brand new in an indoor field, end up, a year later going to a 40-hour continuous with full on gear, with night vision goggles, and on a team that's like, and in a helicopter, by the way. You can take helicopter rides in those.
I want to do that. I want to do that so bad. That's on my airsoft bucket list for sure.
I hear you. Well, that's why I was saying it, because it feels like what you're talking about with the competitiveness. There's when you get into those 3-day milsims, from people I've talked with, what I'm hearing is they started out kind of the same way, And as they progressed, they're like, "Man, this is I want more." And so they keep going to bigger events and bigger events that were more intense events, and then they end up at the like Milsim West, which is really strict and like a real sim where your mags, you have to have mid caps, you have to have, like all this, you're on the field from the time we say go until it, until ends. And one of the guys I talked to the other day, Mr. Off Topic, Mr. OT, he went to a Milsim West event. His very first Milsim was Milsim West event. He said, and it was a
Oh, interesting.
40-hour continuous. And he actually went there. I don't know if you follow her on Instagram, Soda Air, or Soda 241.
I actually met her at a Milsim event here in Arizona.
Oh
She's
shit.
so cool. Yeah, it was we played at Metro Center Mall. So when the mall was gonna be demolished, and they're like, play airsoft in it. So I
Yeah.
met her at the mall. That's so cool.
Oh, that's cool. I did a podcast with her like 3 weeks ago, and yeah, it was great. She's a great person, great to talk with. But she, same thing that you're talking about. She loves the continuous, like the real competitive, that kind of thing. Well, this Mr. OT, he went to his first, Milsim, and Soda was actually there. I think he was on the same team as her. Well, 40-hour event, he quit after 9 hours. And so we actually talked about this on the podcast, and he was like, "Yeah, I felt so bad, and Soda never let me live it down. She was like on my ass about
Oh,
it."
poor guy.
So
I heard they're like really strict for Milsom West ones.
Well, the thing is, and this guy's in shape, but some people that want to do that, they like most people that quit those, like before it ends, they don't realize how physical it is to be, on the field like nonstop, right? So you're always moving. And if you're not moving, just like in the, real training in the in the military, if somebody's sleeping, somebody's gonna be up doing guard watch, like what we called fire watch or whatever. But that is, somebody's gotta be standing guard because the other team might be coming after you at night. And I've heard, I think Soda was talking about it in our podcast. She was talking about how the MILSIM West, one of the events they went to, the other team were playing like loud music, and baby sound, baby crying sounds throughout the night
Oh,
so that they
no.
couldn't sleep.
Okay, psychological warfare. Oh my
Yes.
God.
Oh yeah. So
Yes.
I feel like if if you're ready for the next level, you're probably gonna end up at one of these 40 hours with Soda or somebody like that because the competitive part of it.
Like, I think Copperhead's coming up in September. I want to sign up for that. I really want to do a MILSIM West. So far I've only done like Lion Claws events. So I've gone
Okay.
to Victorville. That was cool. I love Victorville. It was just a whole different environment. Like you said, like the physical, even though we're on the field, like maybe 2.5 hours, maybe three even. It's just a lot of like walking, and it's kind of hot in Victorville too, like around the time of year I went. And yeah, carrying all this gear, water packs, and like if you run into people, you have to like get ready to bolt out.
Now, is this so your boyfriend plays as well, right? You guys go together. Does he like the MILSIM stuff or the indoor, like this the Speed QB stuff more?
It's kind of like we're like one. He prefers like the speed QB side more, but we both just enjoy playing the game and like just opening hours to like trying anything new, really.
Right. Now you guys, so you've gone to California to play. Have you played with Hasmin?
I haven't. I want to go back out and like actually play with like most of the girls out there.
Yeah, because there's Airsofter Sam. She's out, by LA. There's a Valkyrie, who I did a podcast with not long ago. She's right in that area as well. And then Hazmim, and then of course Soda is in. I think she's somewhere in Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she goes to California a lot. I don't think there's a whole lot of airsoft fields in Washington, so I think she goes out there, more.
Think so. I think we I like asked her when I first met her, but like I kind of don't remember.
Yeah.
Go out to California more. There are these tactical challenge leagues I see, and I thought that's so cool. It's like a day thing or a weekend thing. So I'm like, I really want to go out there because I see Hasmin do Valkyrie, right? That's
Yeah.
him. Yeah, you heard do, and I'm like, oh, I want to go out and like meet all these like cool people, because like over social media, I'm not like a big texter. I don't know why I seem so shy, but in
Yeah,
person or even like on video call, I'm like, whoa, I'm so loud. I'm like, I don't want
I
to
was
talk
say, you don't seem shy at all.
to you. It's just like
Yeah.
through the texting aspect.
Gotcha.
And then I met Sam at a MILSIM event, which was Lion Claws. And it's so cool because she was actually one of the first airsoft girls I ever like saw, and I was like, oh my God, more exist out there. And I was like, oh my God, I think I texted her. I was like, I like really look up to you as like a girl that plays airsoft. And I'm not gonna lie, when I first met her, I was like fangirling a little. I was like, oh my God, I miss Sam. And we're both like part of a team now, with like where it's mostly girls, where it's all girls. So do like there's video chats and she's in them. I text her if like I ever have any questions or help, and she's just like a really big help.
Yeah, she's cool. Now, is that the FTW? Is that what you're talking about? The group? Yeah, because who was talking about that? I think it was Valkyrie. crap, I can't remember. I think it was Valkyrie was talking about the FTW. But anyway, whoever, oh no, it was Spooky. It was Spooky Airsoft. Yeah.
She's in it too. She's in Georgia, I think.
Right. She's in Georgia. Her and her friend started the FTW group. So yeah, that's who it was. But yeah, a lot of you girls out here are part of that, you know, are becoming part of that, that team.
Remember getting like a text out of the blue one day, like, hey, there's a girl team kind of like going on. Do you want to join? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. Yeah. That's kind of like, it's just so everyone's so nice. So cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Everyone I've talked to that's, you know, guys and girls, no matter what country or whatever they're in, they're all, you know, they're just glad to be playing airsoft and, you know, being at these events and the teams and stuff. And, it's really cool to see, you know, the girl groups getting together and forming, you know, like their own teams and stuff. I think it's cool.
And it's also great to like finally like relate to somebody with some stuff. Cause like, right. I love like all my guy friends. I love them. They're like my brothers. But like, I can't relate to some of the things you guys talk about.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean. So I laugh, but there's some stuff I'm like, I can't get on this, guys. I'm sorry. So like, there's these girls and I'm like, I could text them and they're like, they'll relate to me. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so great.
Yeah. Like, what pants do you wear? Because these ones suck.
I did that. Oh my God. I actually texted a group. I was like, hey, I might have a Milsim event coming up. I need pants. What do you guys wear? And like, they're sending me links and some suggestions. And I was like, this is amazing. I was like, I don't have to struggle for pants anymore.
Oh, that's cool. So I've seen, after I talked to, a few of the girls in the UK that were talking about it, with the pant, you know, what kind of pants to wear and stuff, I was doing some research. There's, you know, a few like, bigger stores like, Cabela's, right? So they have a whole section for women for like hunting gear, you know, pants and stuff like that. I haven't talked to anyone that's tried them yet, you know?
So I actually did have Cabela pants and like, I would buy them before, probably weren't the correct brand, or even like fabric. Cause this is when I first got into airsoft.
Yeah.
So they were very, I don't know, it was just very non-stretchy material.
Right.
It was like cut. It was very uncomfortable. Hmm. So I was like, I don't want to use these. But then again, it could have been like the brand I got. So I might actually go. Cabela's is a thing.
I think from what I've seen, like the and I have this problem with work pants as well. So with what I do, you know, and this is most guys, you know, on a construction site or whatever, if you're up and down all the time on ladders and then you have to squat down on the floor, you know, I'm crawling around on my hands and knees doing trim around the bottom of the floor, whatever it is, you know, I need some flexible pants, you know, especially in the summer where it gets hot, the thick, old style or whatever, you know, work pants, they don't work. I don't like them. You know, most of us that work like, you know, this kind of work, we don't like those. That's why over the years, you know, they come out with those, the ones that are like the heavy style like that, but they have like, the flexible material throughout the inner seam, you know, all the way in the inside of your legs, throughout the crotch and stuff that stretch. But the problem is, for us, and I'm sure it's the same with, you know, playing, is, it sticks to my thighs. So if I go to kneel down, you know, I can stretch my legs out side to side just fine because they have that stretching material in there. But when you go to kneel down, it sticks to your thighs and then it pulls, like it gets stuck. It's uncomfortable. I feel like for women pants for playing, if there was, you know, leggings that had like just regular leggings, that had some kind of extra padding built into the knees, and maybe just the thighs, like football pads, you know, but a lot smaller, where Wherever you get shot the most, you know, where the most exposed areas would be kind of protected. That would be like the ideal thing. It'd be cool, it'd be stretchy, you'd look good, you'd feel good, and it would still, you know, protect you from getting shot, right?
Like I'm thinking like I always need to have like a pair of like because I like wearing cargo pants like when I play. I like the extra pockets, I like the bagginess of it. So I'm like I always need to wear like leggings or like workout shorts underneath to have some like stretch comfortness. Because like they're really they don't they're cargo pants, they don't stretch. And then like some are thin, like it's like a guessing what you're gonna get. It's either thin, thick. Fit, there's no right pants.
I used to do that same thing. I bought, so I had all these work pants that were that, you know, real stiff and thick and heavy, and they always stick to my legs. So I bought these compression shorts that are like, you know, biking shorts, you know, the cyclists, you know, that wear. But so they're called shorts, but they're really long. So they go past my knee. I wear those, and they're like neoprene or, I mean, they're just like leggings, basically. So they're real slippery. So the pants would actually slide instead of getting stuck on my thighs or my knees. But the problem that, you know, I've always had with work pants is they still just don't, you know, stretch enough to when you're doing all these different, you know, things or whatever on the job. But yeah, there's definitely a need for good airsoft pants for women, for you guys.
And like just in general too, because like when you're going up and down, squatting or whatever, like you just feel the tightness of the pants, and this, you, I feel like I'm gonna end up like SpongeBob in that one episode and rip my pants. They're just too tight.
I hear you. Well, speaking of that, my when we first started our channel, my sons would go to these events and they would wear GoPros and stuff. The very first milsim they went to was a 24-hour continuous. They were all three wearing GoPros, and my son, one of my sons, the first hour of the game, his pants, he bought new pants to go right for the team. The whole crotch ripped out. He did the same thing. He bent down. It was real. It rained the whole weekend there, so they were all wet and soaked. And so
No.
he squatted down behind this tree or whatever, and the whole thing ripped. This is all caught on GoPro, okay? Now I cut it out in the video, because he looks down, you can see his underwear and stuff, and it's like, but you could hear it rip on the camera. And the whole, I mean, it ripped down to like the whole inside, ripped down to like almost the knees. Like the pants just were shitty. Okay. So, I'm sure that's a common thing, you know, where that could happen. You know, it happened to him on his first one, but yeah.
What are the odds it happens?
Yeah. I mean, you know, hopefully you'd be wearing like yoga pants or something, you know, something underneath if that did happen, you know.
Fear. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, jeez.
Oh, Jesus.
It's gonna happen next week. Watch.
No, you get those. I mean, most of those cami pants, if you get the rip stop, you know, they're like the little more expensive kind of brands or whatever, but they say rip stop or whatever. There's like the cross thread. The problem with those is because they're like that, they don't stretch. So you got to pull them up to like kneel down, you know? Oh yeah. So what is your so what's your guys's big plans for this year for Airsoft?
I really just want to do a lot of milsim events. I'm gonna try at least on my schedule. I want to go to Copperhead in September, so
Yeah.
go there. We'll see. I want to go to one of the KWA Tactical Challenge Leagues. I think that's what they're called in
Yeah.
California. I definitely want to do one of those. It's just mainly. I want to just go out of state and just like experience a lot of these different fields. I played in California, but only like one time at one field. So okay. I really want to go out to different places and like see what everyone's talking about, the different fields, and like not to mention like the playing styles. I hear in Georgia, it's different there, California, like every state kind of has like a different vibe to it. And I just want to like.
Okay. And what kind of gear do you guys run, you and your boyfriend? What's your favorite pistol and rifle to go?
Oh, my rifle, it's a AG. So to be more specific, it's a SSG. It has a Perun in it. I never worked with it. He's never worked with it. We have a tech guy that actually is helping us with that because it has been acting up here and there.
What is it now? What's inside of it?
Perun.
Yeah. I've never heard of it.
People haven't. I don't even know how he came across it. Cause like one day I was just at work. He's like, hey, I got this misfit for you. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And like, it's something I was like, oh, I've never heard of that. And then his tech guy was like, I've never worked on this, but like, let's find out.
Huh? Oh, that's cool.
It's working pretty good. It shoots fast. Cause I need to like shoot fast. That's just me. Pistol. So I'm actually gonna to pistols now that I want to play speed QB and like more close and compete. So yeah. I have a Terran Tactical. So it's stock, like out of the box. So I'm just gonna do a lot of like upgrades and pulse bomb, put in the new things.
Okay. Now, is there a gun that you've seen that you want? That you don't have yet?
I want a Krytek.
A Kraken?
Yeah, I want a Kraken. I want a Kraken. Or what are those? Oh, I want... No, scratch that. I want a Chris Vector.
Oh, shit.
I have a friend. He has, like, 5. Just let me buy one. I want one so bad.
Yeah, why does he need 5, bro? Come on.
I don't know. I think we asked him, and he's like, it's a collection.
So. Nice. No, that's cool. Coltrane on our channel, one of my sons, he bought a Vector. This is probably 2.5 years ago. And I guess, you know, they're highly rated. I know they're good guns. We got the one that, you know, they didn't get checked that day or something because it was shit. So I got to say though, it could have been, like, you know, we used the mags that came with it and, it just didn't feed right or whatever. We can never get it shooting right. Then again, we didn't know what we were doing, like how to fix it and stuff in the beginning. So I didn't know to check the bucking and all, you know, all the internal stuff, whatever at the time. So I couldn't do anything with it, but, and he couldn't either. So he ended up selling it because he's like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. But, it was probably something simple, to be honest, looking back on it now, but, those things look awesome. I love how they look. And especially because he had, you know, it came with this long suppressor on it. It looked really cool.
They look cool. Like I just want to play with one. I haven't had an opportunity like to play with one. I just want one so bad. I see them. I was this close to buying one time. I was this close.
They're not cheap. I know that.
No, I think once like I took my card out, I was like, I was like, I don't need this right now.
Right. I hear you. Yep. Well, that's cool. I, you know, I've had a really good time talking with you.
Same here.
Yeah. Thank you for being on. It's been great.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I just love talking.
I'm glad. Yeah. It's, you're definitely not shy. You're very comfortable. You know, it's been good.
Ben, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. And, you guys have a good night.
Too.
All right, I'll see you next time.